This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zakas of New South Wales. I'm getting used to this. Jeremy's teaching me cricket. What I didn't know right away is that the way Australia plays cricket is that they fall behind. Everybody complains. The sports writers start saying, they've had it. They're over the hill. They need a new team. Pat Cummins, he's the captain, or somebody famous. Pat Cummins is not matching our expectations. The bowlers are off. They're lazy. They took to heart winning the championship. Trash them all week long. And then what happened, Jeremy?
Well, John, once again, we pretty much wrote off our Australian team in the Pakistan game. But then, lo and behold, we won. And I'm not just going to say we only just won. We won very, very convincingly by 79 runs. And John, this is only a two-day test. It's called the Boxing Day test. So it starts Boxing Day and goes the next day. It's only 2 days of cricket. So typically, the scores are actually very close. And if you get behind on the first day, as Australia did, you generally don't make up the runs in the second day. But Australia did. And not only did we win, we actually won against Pakistan's premier team. And I think that's the real icing on the cake here. We actually got off to a bad start, managed to come back, but then we completely defeated Pakistan's premier team, which they're going to carry through to the rest of their summer test series. So I can imagine right now while we're celebrating, the poor Pakistani team is really trying to figure out what it's going to do, because I think we revealed some kind of weakness either in their side or as I like to say, John, maybe we just have a super team. I mean, Pat Cummins, he's as you mentioned, he's the real sort of common factor in everything that we have in our strange cricket occurrences now. Every time that Australia either does something weird or has a controversy or somehow wins when it shouldn't, Pat Cummins is the man. He's the man on the spot. So, again, it's a great win, John, but it shows cricket, you just can't pick it.
I've noticed a pattern here. I don't know whether this is a sports writer's pattern or not. Australia doesn't trash talk the other team. Australia gets behind and goes quiet and doesn't rationalize, doesn't act defensive. It's odd. I don't know if it's a style. I can't tell. I'm too new to cricket. But I don't remember trash talking. I remember England trash talks. They like to. And India, I don't remember. Well, the whole country trash talked for the championship. I mean, they were supposed to. They did win in the alternative universe, Jeremy. They won. Right, fine. So is this something you remember from Australia teams in the past, that they don't trash talk the other team?
Well, funny you should mention that, John. In fact, what I remember is Australia used to be the lead trash talker of the cricket calendar. This whole not trash talking is a very, very new thing that's only come up in the last 2 years and has only come up when Pat Cummins is around. So I can remember right back to the 80s, which is when I grew up and was really a child and learning cricket and playing cricket myself. And I remember David Boone and a lot of the old Australian stalwarts, they would trash talk everybody. They, in fact, invented a method where this was before microphones were at the stumps and you know, television coverage carried what they were saying on the field. But they used to come up with very creative ways to get under the skin of their competitors and basically put them off the game. But lo and behold, scoot forward now 30, 40 years, we actually don't trash talk. And I think this is actually the point here, John, I think, is that we're a very contrarian type of team. So when everybody's trash talking, we don't trash talk. And it's very effective because Pat Cummins, he delivers a very cool demeanor. His whole team delivers a very cool demeanor. So as the other side's getting, you know, very in your face and very much trash talking like the Brits did, like the Pakistanis did, like the Indians did, the more we seem to be relaxed, the more it seems to be that when the other side thinks they've got us beaten, that's when we come through and tend to surprise them. So, John, in short, this is a new era. You've come on board at the right time with cricket. This is definitely a new era for the Australian cricket team and one that does seem to be working really, really well.
In baseball, American baseball, they call it talking with your bat. And I don't know if there's a comparable metaphor for cricket, but they are winning after falling behind. One more sport this week. This is new. This is the Sydney to Hobart race, and this year in several categories, but this year it was very close. And you tell me this is a famous race. Is that right, Jeremy?
That's right, John. This is the Sydney to Hobart yacht race. It's been going since 1945, and it's one that has really appealed to the Australian yachting community because it's not just the super yachts that can compete. It's everything right down to the very small vintage yachts that may only be 30 foot. So anybody who has a yacht, who has the impetus to actually want to sail from Sydney to Hobart, can join this race. And they do. There is over 100 competitors in the field. There are yachts from all standards and sizes, and it's a fantastic race. And what probably makes it the most exciting is that it actually crosses through a part called Bass Strait, which in Australia is between Tasmania, which is our little island up to the bottom right of Australia, and the Australian mainland. And it is very, very well known for very rough seas because it's a very shallow water by comparison to the continental shelf. So we're talking only about 30 metres, which is about 100 foot depth, before being several thousand metres, several thousand feet off in the continental shelf. And it creates massive waves and massive storm systems. So the Sydney to Hobart itself is actually very, very technically challenging. And this race, because it happens every single year just after Christmas, there is a large following. Everybody after Christmas Day gets onto the television, watches it through the television coverage on Boxing Day, and it lasts 2 days as well. So they arrive in Hobart, normally around about the 27th, 28th, depending on how the winds are. And there is always, always some kind of controversy. And this year didn't disappoint, because I can say that while the race, there wasn't any problems, that the weather was fierce, but everybody dealt with it. Coming into the final stretch there in Hobart, Law Connect, which was actually the winner of the race in the end, was barreling up the Derwent River into Hobart when all of a sudden a small spectator craft actually cut in front of it, because spectator craft are allowed to basically sail alongside these yachts as they're coming to the finish line and you know, get in relatively close. But one cut across it and nearly hit the winner. And unfortunately, as the rules play, if Law Connect had been hit by a spectator craft less than a kilometre away from the finish line, it would have been disqualified and out of the race. So very nearly this yacht that had just sailed 2.5 days under incredibly tough conditions was nearly taken out by a spectator craft. So that was our controversy this year. Every year there's a controversy, but that's why we watch it. That's why we love to see it. So, John, it's a fantastic race and something that we always hang out for.
Jeremy Zachas, New South Wales, unpredictable weather, El Nino year. What can be predicted is if Australia's cricket team goes quiet, they're going to win. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.